on this episode of Still Loading.
Well, this is a trick, Mother Brain. No one could possibly love you. You're too ugly.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to this new episode of the Still Loading Podcast. I am your host, Josh Koval, and today we are back with some more Captain N. And as per usual, my co-pilot for the series, Dexter, is here. Dexter, how are you doing?
Hey, everybody. Co-pilot, navigator, DJ.
DJ.
The shot, riding shotgun, you pass the driver the CD or whatever, yeah.
Oh my god, we just have one of those giant binders of CDs, like it's the early 2000s again, where there's like, yes, it holds 100 and you just sit there for hours
trying to figure out
what to listen to.
That is the metaphor for my role on this show. I hold the binder of CDs.
You hold the binder of CDs. It's a very 90s show, 90s and early 2000s show. I mean, hey, it fits though. Captain N's from 89, so I think I think it fits. But for those who don't know, we record these episodes in batches. Just, you know, our schedules are both pretty busy, so that way we record two at a time, so that way we can knock them all out. And it's kind of fun for me to do it this way. I know this came out of necessity, right? But like, it's been fun for me, man, to do this, because what I love about this is seeing the themes that connect the episodes. And these two episodes, we're recording for episode 8 and 9. Episode 8 is obviously the only one we're talking about today. It's Mr. and Mrs. Mother Brain is the name of the episode. But these two episodes, episodes 8 and 9, I think are Simon at his worst. I think Simon is the most awful human being in these two episodes, more so than the other 7 leading up to this. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, Simon's in rare form in these ones. Also very Mother Brain heavy too, like the two of them.
Yes, both of these episodes are very, and you would think that's kind of sad that that's so surprising, considering Mother Brain is the main villain of the show. But like, she gets a lot of screen time, especially in today's episode, and especially in episode 8 here. So let's dive right into it, right? We are talking about Mr. and Mrs. Mother Brain, and it is an episode which involves romance. It's an episode which involves betrayal. It's an episode.
We laugh, we cry.
We laugh. It's a very Godfather-esque type of episode, you know? So the premise of the episode starts off with basically, there's this big peace meeting, I guess. They don't really quite explain it all that well, but basically they're holding like this meeting to hopefully bring peace to Vidiland. So the war between Mother Brain and Princess Lana and the End crew can come to a peaceful end, and there will finally be peace in Vidiland. Spoiler alert, that's not what happens, of course. There is a lot of stuff that goes on. And realistically, I mean, it was always going to go south, because Mother Brain, like from the beginning, says that she's planning on double crossing everyone on this. But yeah, Simon royally fucks it up too.
Is it Kid Icarus or Mega Man that's like, could this possibly be a trap? And they're like, no.
Why would she come all the way here to just spring a trap on us?
Yeah.
And the one thing I noticed, so it starts off, the way you find out is a trap is that Mother Brain is on, like, I don't know what you call it. You always see like royalty in like older movies where like they have these two poles, and then like the throne is being held up by these two poles, and then you have her servants carrying, like holding up the poles and carrying her.
Yes. I want to say rickshaw, but I know that's not what it is.
It's not a rickshaw. I don't know what it's called either. Someone actually told me it, and I can't remember what it is anymore. I might have written it down, but I don't think I did. I didn't. But I thought it was odd, because one of the first things I noticed was that she comes in on that, and everything goes south, and they, you know, they decide to, like, you know, run away. They just warp out of there. So my first thought was, why didn't they just warp in? Like, what was the point of this big grand entrance?
That was the exact same conclusion I came to as well. I was like, wow, they're making this really long trip. And then when they're like, haha, just kidding, and they leave immediately. I was like, wait, if it was that easy to leave, why did they trudge there? Like, it seemed like everyone was tired and like, oh man, this is such a long trip. And then yeah, when they leave, it was no big deal.
Well, it was also, so weird.
We're also glossing over that really abrupt scene change at the beginning when they're talking about signing the treaty with Mother Brain. Mm-hmm. Simon has his moment. He's like, here's the royal pen. Here's the royal inkwell. Here's the royal scroll.
Yeah.
And then,
yeah,
like, he tries to be fancy by, like, flipping the pen and inkwells and stuff around, and he ends up, like, getting hit in the head with everything. And then it just immediately cuts. Like, you don't even have time to, like, it's almost like impact on his head, and then we cut to the scene of Mother Brain and her team trudging through. And it's like, there's absolutely no time to react to what just happened.
It was weird because it was like they had a joke and they decided, nah, this isn't that good, or they cut it for time. I don't know. I could picture that being a thing where it's like, we need to shave off a second, and they didn't really feel like trying to figure out an organic way to make it look good. They're like, ah, fuck it, we'll just take it out of this spot right here.
Yeah, exactly. That's
the only thing I could think of. So I actually, it's fun thing about this episode is when I was watching it, I actually watched it with some friends. We had a retro game night earlier this week, and or actually late last week, technically, because we record, this is a Sunday we're recording on. And I was like, hey guys, you mind if I watch this? You mind if we watch this? Because I'm recording this episode later this weekend. So I was hoping that maybe we could all watch it. So
are they actually still your friends?
Yes, they are, believe it or not. In fact, one of the friends was a guest on an episode previously, Max for the, Max for the Wario Land 3 episode.
Oh, nice.
And so, they noticed stuff that I didn't notice, and I thought that was really fun. And one of the things that they didn't necessarily notice, but one thing I think is a apt description, they pointed out Mega Man's voice is like a 50-year-old chain smoker. And I feel like we commented on Mega Man's voice in some of our previous episodes, but I really don't think we've ever really talked about it. And I really that just describes it perfectly.
Not only 50-year-old chain smoker, but like 50-year-old chain smoking chipmunk, like
like, yeah,
Alvin after he's retired from his singing career.
Oh my god! I want to see a spinoff of Alvin and the Chipmunks where they're in their like 90s, and you know their whiskers are like really bushy and gray, like turns into a mustache, and they are just chain smoking. And maybe the youngest one of the three does like a line of coke off of something. Like, it's just the dark version of Alvin the Chipmunk when fame goes too far.
Yes.
I because what is it? Jason Lee was in those movies, the Alvin and the Chipmunk.
Oh yeah,
Chipmunk movies. He was alive. He played Dave. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I wonder, like, what would his role be in that? Would it be like Dave has passed away, and so the chipmunks are just angry shells of their former selves?
Yeah, and for some reason they left Alvin in charge of managing them instead of, you know, Simon the smart one.
Yeah.
They just completely sell out under Alvin's control, and yeah.
And Alvin just has a recording of Dave yelling Alvin because he misses him so much. It's like really sad. It's just Alvin. And you see it cuts over to Alvin just crying in a corner. It's like, Alvin.
He's got an old cell phone with like an old voicemail on it. Yeah.
This is really, oh man, Captain N has taken a turn. All right, let's get back to Captain N. So, when Mother Brain shows up, and obviously you know she's going to double cross, but you have no idea how she's going to double cross. Kid Icarus, I still feel it's so weird that I'm more comfortable calling him Kid Icarus than his actual name of Pit. The show has ruined me. But Kid Icarus is practicing shooting arrows, and Simon's like, here, let me show you. I can do that better, type of thing. And Kid Icarus, in his stupid Icus speech patterns, goes, you can't do that. That's my love at first sight arrow. And Simon's like, really?
Simonious too. Is that the first time he's called him Simonious?
He's called him Simonious a couple of times. So I've noticed in these two episodes specifically, it ramps up a lot.
Yeah. Okay, then maybe that's why I noticed it, because he kept doing it this time.
No, definitely. He really ramp it up in this episode. So Simon wants to then take that arrow so he can then shoot Princess Lana and trick her and basically force her into falling in love with him. And that's why this is when I mentioned before how Simon is at his worst in these two episodes. This is just the start of it. Like, Simon's always been a creep, but the fact that he just wants to try to force Princess Lana to love him with this arrow is just even creepier. It just, I wrote it down as a note for my next for the next episode, but I think it's also important to note it here. He's just the embodiment of toxic masculinity.
Yeah, that's true. It's true.
He really is. Like, and I know some people get angry bringing that up, but like, that is a thing, and he's the embodiment of it. He's constantly trying to force Princess Lana to have sex with him, or to get with him, or to fall in love with him. He constantly is trying to prove how manly he is, even though he's an idiot, and it's just nuts. So yeah, Simon fires the arrow though, and he misses it. He misses Princess Lana, and it ricochets around the room and it sticks him in the butt, and he falls in love with Mother Brain instead. And yeah, that is the whole premise of the episode. That sets up the whole thing.
That also, I guess it kind of paid off the visual of when they were trudging all the way there. They had like this big curtain around Mother Brain's tank, which I thought was weird, but I guess it's kind of like a covered wagon kind of thing, kind of deal, like keeping the royalty covered. But the big reveal of after Simon shoots himself with the arrow is like they pull the curtain to reveal Mother Brain for this meeting. And that's supposed to be like the big reveal for Simon to like fall in love with her when he sees her. Like it was just a really convoluted, I feel like convoluted way to get that reveal to happen. But
I didn't really notice it all that much. I just feel like, you know, he gets shot with the arrow. First person he sees is Mother Brain. It's simple as that. But I love when he tries to like flirt with her. Well, you know, I love you, Mother Brain. Oh my gosh, I love you so much. And Mother Brain's first response is, "You can't fool my super brain. Nobody loves me." This poor. It really puts it a little like a window into her mind of just how hurt this woman has been. Just nobody loves me. Like, her go to response is just the basic understanding of just nobody loves me. It's just how it is. You can't fool me. I know everybody hates me. Even my own servants, they hate me too. So Simon, you know, gets whisked away with Mother Brain because he's in love with her, and she just basically captures him, says, "Oh, you can prove it to me in the dungeon," or blah blah blah, something along those lines. And so Princess Lana and everyone else is, you know, they want to go rescue Simon, and she asks Kevin, "Are you, or like, you don't have to come if you don't want to, Kevin?" And his response is, I don't know why I laid into that, or I picked up on this. It's either that or go home to clean up my room. And I thought that was so weird because it got me thinking. I went down a rabbit hole here, Dexter. And by a rabbit hole, I just mean like a thought rabbit hole, not an actual like IMDb thing. So the beginning of this show, Kevin gets sucked into Videoland. And from my understanding, he has stayed in Videoland since, right? He's completely ignored his parents' feelings, right? And just doesn't care. So he's been in Videoland for who knows how long, right? Maybe Videoland time passes differently than real world time. Maybe it's only been a second since he's been sucked in. Who knows? But then I started thinking, they always show in the intro of Kevin getting sucked, the real life Kevin getting sucked into Videoland.
Right.
I always just assumed that was just the backstory. Like, it was, you know, the flashback.
Yeah.
Could it be? Could this actually be him just getting sucked in at the beginning of every adventure? Like, he goes back home and he gets sucked in at the beginning of every adventure.
That could be interesting.
I don't think that's the case, because the whole cleaning the room thing is the whole reason he decided to not go back at the end of episode one. Right. So that's a bizarre through line that they decided to still keep in a show that really doesn't care about through lines.
The other side of that line is that, like, well, my job here is done. Simon's gone. Like, I'm just going to leave Videoland now because Simon is there with Mother Brain. Like, that's, yeah, a, right? That's such a weird opposite take.
Like, that's the only alternative. It's just, well, Simon left, so fuck him.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're right. I didn't even think about that. The opposite is just completely bonkers. It doesn't make any sense. That's really funny. I never thought of it that way, actually. Oh, that's pretty good. So then they decide to travel to Castlevania. I don't know why exactly they decide to go to Castlevania in the first place. I know why Simon ends up in Castlevania, but they go after they. I don't remember why the end team goes to Castlevania.
That's a good point. Yeah, because Mother Brain's plan is, she's like, if you want to prove that you actually love me, go take over Castlevania for me.
Yes,
but that makes sense why Simon shows up. The end team knows he went to Castlevania. Like you
exactly.
Said.
Did they just show up? I feel like there has to be something, because as dumb as this show has been, there's always been at least some line to indicate why the team is going to different places. But there's a lot of other things they drop, especially when we talk about episode 9. I have a thing that really makes me upset. But but in this one, at least, I don't know why they show up in Castlevania. But Simon, like we said, Simon makes sense. Mother Brain wants him to prove himself, to prove that he loves her. So she tells him to go to capture Castlevania for her. But before she sends him there, that leads to one of my favorite lines of the whole episode, where Simon's trying to flirt with her again, and King Hippo's like, "Oh, this is a trick, Mother Brain. No one could possibly love you. You're too ugly." Which you probably heard as a clip for the beginning of this episode. I was just so taken aback by that. I was not expecting that. Like the boldness of that statement to his boss.
Yeah, King Hippo very, very not hiding his feelings there.
Very blunt, definitely, yeah. Very blunt. But so they send Simon, or Simon goes to capture Castlevania, and the end team, like we don't remember why they show up there. You know what? While we're talking, maybe I'll like bring up the episode real quick and see if I can find out why they are going to Castlevania, because it doesn't make any sense to me. Simon. Yeah,
I've had it on kind of in the background while we've been chatting too. They open up that warp. Lana's like, here's the portal to Castlevania, or the warp zone to Castlevania. Let's go. And I don't remember if they say like that's the quickest way to get to Metroid or something like that. Planet Metroid is to go through Castlevania, because they're looking at a map of warp zones. Oh, that's right. They get a call from a citizen of Castlevania.
That's what it was.
That weird caricature.
He looks like a German yodeler.
Yes, yes. He's got lederhosen and he's got a weird like broom like mustache.
Yes, that's what it was. They get a phone call from it saying that they're, you know, Mother Brain's trying to take over Castle. That's what it was. Oh my gosh, now I remember now. I even wrote down that note because I was so confused by this German yodeler dude. I was just yeah, who's the guy that calls into? I have a note. Who's the guy that calls to warn them about Castlevania? He looks like a German yodeler. Okay, so Simon goes there, and that's what causes them to go there, because the German yodeler calls in. Random characters who show up.
The German yodeler from Castlevania,
right? I mean, at least the theme kind of fits. Like Castlevania takes place in like an Eastern European country, and I could totally see like, you know, that they would take like that German influence, like if you're kind of doing like this fake Eastern Europe country thing. I don't know. I could see that though.
Yeah.
That's true. So they show up in Castlevania, and here's one of the notes that my friends pointed out that I didn't notice, but I thought it was funny. When they go into the portal to Castlevania, they leap into it. They both Princess Lana and Kevin leap basically head first into the portal. Right. When they exit the portal, they're walking.
That is true.
And it made me laugh so hard. Just that this is not something that matters at all. Like this isn't even like a criticism. It's just nitpicking. But for some reason, it just made me laugh really hard that there is that lack of continuity and it doesn't make any sense. And because in the next episode, there's another shot of the portal, of them going to a portal where Duke just kind of like yeets himself off into the portal. And it looks like he's a dead dog floating into a portal. It's terrifying. We'll cover that when we get to it. But so they come out the portal, and the first thing I notice once they get there is that Kevin kills a spider with his shoulder.
Yeah. The spider just kind of lands on him. And when he turns, it like kills the spider.
What was the point of that?
I don't know, but I'm sure, 4-year-old me was like clapping like, "Ee, video game." that was the kind of crap that got me excited watching Captain N, like, "Ooh, video game reference," even if it was something as minute as like a death animation.
I don't even know if you can call that a video game reference, other than I guess you know you do fight bats in Castlevania, but you usually do that with a whip. I don't know. That's so weird. It's so weird.
Even something as like simple as a death animation pixelating when the spider dies, like that was enough to make little me clap with joy.
And in all honesty, as an adult man, that makes me happy, because it's like, well, that's a nice little touch. I wasn't expecting them to even put that much detail into this show. Right, it's more like a pleasant surprise that they actually did something like that to make it feel like a video game instead of just having them like disappear type of thing.
Right.
So they're walking through and, you see Dracula appear. And Dracula shows up in that classic design. For those who saw the thumbnail from episode 3, it's the same design.
His yellow zoot suit and his, his like very heavy lidded eyes and his weird mullet.
That mullet is the stuff of nightmares.
Yes.
It's weird. Mullets have been making a comeback and I don't understand it.
No, I thought we learned from the first
time. Mullets and weird like porn stashes. Specifically, like, I watch a lot of hockey. A lot of hockey players have porn stashes, and it makes me very uncomfortable. It's been going all around. I'm like, why are we bringing back this stuff? I don't get it. Everyone has like that Tom Selleck stash, and only Tom Selleck can pull off that mustache. Okay.
More uncomfortable is the mullet on Dracula's bat form when he transforms.
Yes, because he transforms into a bat. And this, I think, should be our thumbnail. I don't know. What do you think? Do you think this is the best thing for the thumbnail?
Yes, because if you thought the character design for Dracula was like standing ovation, then you have not seen the bat form yet.
It's the most horrifying thing I've seen. I don't understand why they decided to design him that way.
It's hilarious in this, but if you think about if you were to see that in real life, you would probably die of fright. Like, oh my god, why is that bat yellow and why does it have a mullet?
I know, right? But the design of him with his mullet, while I was so confused by the design of Dracula as a bat, because he had like the nose of a bat, but the face of him, like the face of the human Dracula with the mullet of human Dracula and even the eyes of human Dracula. But then the claws of a bat and the wings of a bat, but he still had his cape on too.
Oh yeah. It's like a little tiny, he's got a little tiny cape.
Yeah. He's got a little tiny cape on the back of his bat back. Try saying that 10 times fast. My only note for that was like, Dracula turns into a bat and looks weird as hell. That was like, unless you want to type out every single detail, but that design of him is just nuts. It's probably one of my favorite things.
Yeah, and actually has like the smartest move, like smarter than any of Mother Brain's people. He just flies and steals Captain N's zapper and throws it in a pit.
Yeah, you're right.
And I'm looking, Kevin's pretty much useless at that point.
I'm looking at the picture I sent you as well. He's got bat's ears. It almost looks like two pairs of ears. He's got the ears that go straight up, and then he almost looks like he has cat ears coming off the side. And then he's got, giant mouth with giant fangs like a bat, and the little cape that goes on the back. It's just such a ridiculous design, and it makes me laugh every time.
It's beautiful. It's really a thing of beauty.
So then Simon shows up and whips him, and everyone's like, "Oh, thank God, Simon, you're back to your senses." And blah, blah, blah. And it turns out, you know, obviously he wasn't. He was there to continue to take over Castlevania. He throws Princess Lana and Kevin and Duke into a warp zone into the Forest of Forgetfulness, which is just like a puddle. Like, I don't know why it's a puddle. but before he does that, the first thing he does to try to attack them is he sends a monster after them, just called Mr. Bones.
I enjoy a good Castlevania game. I'm not like a deep fan of the lore, but I was like, pretty sure this is not from any of the games.
I was so confused by it, man. I thought the same thing. I don't know what
he's got. A backwards
there's no
hat.
Way he could be he's got an from any game,
and he blows fire.
Like, yeah,
I was like, what?
It's so weird. It's such a weird.
And the fact that he's defeated by Duke just taking one of his leg bones, then he just collapses.
And he just melts. Yeah. He just melts from the one bone disappearing. It's so strange. Yep. So they go to the Forest of Forgetfulness, and then it cuts to Simon. And there's a montage of Simon and Mother Brain kind of, you know, planning their wedding. Once, you know, she comes in shortly after he disposes of the end team, and she goes, "Oh, you really do love me." And it's like, "Not only that, Mother Brain, I want to marry you." And then it starts a montage of their wedding planning. You know, I'm starting to realize when you hear that filler music, that the reason why we hear it every episode, and I feel dumb that it took me this long to get it.
That's when they replace the music that had to be taken out.
Exactly. They have to replace the music that was taken out. Yep. And the music for this episode was supposed to be White Wedding by Billy Idol. Which makes sense. Still a weird choice.
Yeah, it's still a weird choice for the montage. Like, it's just them, like, preparing for the wedding.
Well, I think what makes this scene so weird is that the music doesn't fit it at all.
Yeah. And they're, like, choosing a wedding ring.
Yeah. It like, tonally, it makes no fucking sense. It just doesn't work with the scene. And every other time they've used it, I'm like, okay, I could see that. I could understand why that's in there. Though I do think, now I'm thinking back to the last episode where with Stefan Rees, shout out to episode 7 with Stefan Rees. The featured song is Isn't She Lovely by Stevie Wonder. And I can't imagine where that would have fit into the episode. I guess when they were taking care of the baby?
Yeah, it's the montage where they're taking care of the baby. And if I may add a little asterisk to that episode, Stevie Wonder wrote that for his daughter when she was born. So it's actually a song being sung to a child. Like, Isn't She Lovely?
Like, and people use that for love as a love song, don't they?
Yeah, it's usually like, speaking of weddings, it's usually like a dance at a wedding kind of song. Like,
that's a little weird.
Yeah, no. I totally agree. But I think that might be where it was supposed to be used, was the, you know, like, but yeah, even that song cannot change my mind on how I feel about Puff the Little Dragon.
Yeah, Puff the that still makes me laugh every time. The amount of stuff that they've, like, the inspirations that they've taken for each episode. Jeffrey Scott, I said it before in the episodes with Stefan, where, once again, Jeffrey, please come on. We love you.
We love you. Please come.
We love you so much. Please come on. but like, he really had it, like, I could tell the things he enjoyed most was making all the puns in this, because this episode's title is Mr. and Mrs. Brain. Last episode was Three Men and a Dragon. Mr. and Mrs. Brain kind of reminds me of Mrs. Jones, you know, the me and Mrs. Jones. Right. Three Men and a Dragon, Three Men and a Baby. I don't know what wishful thinking or the others were really for. Well, like, the most dangerous game master, the most dangerous game.
The next episode's also a film reference, isn't it?
It is also a film reference. We'll save that for when we record episode 9. But it seems like as this show went on, he just started having more and more fun with some of the naming conventions. Which I'm okay with. I'm A-okay with that. The entire month of December here on Still Loading has been sponsored by Geek Guilt. Geek Guilt is your go-to online store for all of your geeky needs. From costumes to home decor to even vinyl records and, of course, the video games themselves, Geek Guilt will have it all. Currently, one of my favorite products on their website is the Slime Stand. The Slime Stand, if you are a fan of 90s Nickelodeon like I am, it is a great stand to place your video game controllers on to give you that authentic 90s Nickelodeon feel. Maybe you can pick up your Super Nintendo controller from the 90s Nickelodeon style Slime Stand and play Nickelodeon Guts on your Super Nintendo. Believe it or not, that is a game on the Super Nintendo. So go to geekguild.com and check out all they have to offer. And another thing we forgot to mention, though, while all this is happening in the show, you know, Simon is doing his wedding montage with the awful music with Mother Brain, and Princess Lana and Kevin are stuck in the forest of forgetfulness. Mega Man and Kid Icarus are over on Mount Icarus trying to fight their way up to the top so that way they can get an antidote arrow to help Simon go back to normal so he's not a crazy person who's in love with Mother Brain.
Right, and exactly.
the fight up to the mountain's fine. I mean, do you have any comments on their fight up to the top of the mountain? I didn't really have much else to say with it.
No, just another part where I, like, little me would be clapping with joy just seeing video game references and like finally like watching Captain, like, this is why I watch Captain N. Actually, it's funny that we're kind of glazing over it story-wise, but like, it's exactly why I would have been watching Captain N, is like the video game references and seeing, like, that's what they, the whole time I was watching that portion, I was like, this should have been the episode. is the two of them working their way to the top of Mount Icarus.
That's really funny. Yeah. I mean, I could see as a kid, cause that's more action packed too. Like, that's stuff that a kid would look out for.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
They get to the top of the mountain and they meet this guy, and I love this character. I don't even know if he has a name, but the first thing you see of him, he has one of those fake arrows that looks like it's going through his head, and he's got the little band that's sticking up, like it's sticking above his head because it doesn't fit the shape of his head. And I'm sorry, for some reason that just made me laugh. It's not a good joke. It's a dumb gag, but for some reason just having it on there just felt so appropriate for this show.
Yes, it's the exact humor of this show for sure.
And then he's trying out different arrows. Like, he shoots one arrow and it starts to grow grass underneath Mega Man and Kid Icarus's feet. Then he has a pepperoni pizza arrow. He has all these arrows that do stupid things. And the one that made me laugh the most was the cow arrow. I don't know. We've noticed the cow on other episodes of the show. I believe actually once again on episode 7, because they found a cow to get milk for the baby dragon, right?
Right.
What is with their design of cows? This one looks emaciated. It doesn't, like, at least the other one looks, it just had, like, it looked like it was healthy but with a bony physique. This one, it just looks like it hasn't eaten for 3 years.
I have no idea what they were going for with that and the, I can't fault them, it's 1989, but the animation when the cow starts running is like a two-legged creature. Like, it's just like the legs going up and down. It does not run like a normal four-legged creature. That's just a little nitpick by me, but yeah, no idea why they went with, like, this is an arrow that makes an emaciated cow. With like an,
well, if you want to get even more nitpicky, like, if you want to get even more nitpicky, my friends pointed this out. The cow appears to be female because she has udders, but it has horns like a male cow would.
Yeah, no, it's so strange. Also, you can't be that good of an arrow maker if you have to shoot the arrow to find out what it is. Like,
Yeah, that's a good point. I didn't think about that. You're right. Like, what? I was so confused when they came up there, and he's like, all right, let's see what this arrow is. I'm like, you don't have them labeled? Like, what if this is like a nuclear arrow?
Yeah. Or like, here's the arrow you need, but I had to shoot it to make sure. So I don't have any more.
That was my thoughts exactly. Well, he also had like an anger arrow, which he accidentally shoots the cow with, and then it, you know, yes, it charges at him.
That ends up being what they use for the antidote, which is interesting that anger is the is supposedly, I guess, like the cure for love.
I just love, like, take that sentence and just rip it out of context. Anger is the cure for love. Oh my god. Yeah, it doesn't make any so here's the thing though. When I was watching it, I didn't think it was the anger arrow, because they didn't say, like, they said there was an anger arrow, but then he grabbed some others and said, here's the antidote arrow. And well, I'm like, okay, said, so
yeah, it's he's like, the you antidote. Can use these. I've got three more. Yeah, he specifically says, like, you can use the anger arrow as long as he looks at the person he's in love with.
That's so weird.
Yeah.
And okay, that makes sense, because I didn't think that they specifically said the arrows that they used to cure Simon were anger arrows.
Yeah,
because then I was really confused that they were all anger arrows.
They shoot, who do they shoot with the arrow? They shoot Simon.
They shoot Dr. Wily first.
Oh, that's what it is.
And he looks at Eggplant Wizard and just goes, I'm really mad.
Yeah.
And then beats him. And then they shoot Simon, who then also looks at Eggplant Wizard, who for some reason, and then he gets angry at Eggplant Wizard. So then they're on the third and final arrow, and that's the one that finally does it. But they all come back together, though. So, you know, Kevin and Lana are able to escape the forest of forgetfulness, which is a weird scene. So they're in the forest of forgetfulness. Kevin's like, I think there's an invisible bridge here, but I can't quite remember, playing into the whole forgetfulness thing. They all fall off of the invisible bridge. There is one there, but they all fall off. And he uses his pause power, which he suddenly remembers he has, even in the forest of forgetfulness. And then once again, breaks the physics of the power pad's powers, where this pause is only going to last for a couple more seconds. If I can time it right and hit the button, you know, hit the zoom button or whatever he calls it, we can launch ourselves into that warp zone that's over there. One, why is there a warp zone there? There's no rhyme or reason to it being there. It's just there. Two, how do they know where it's going to take them? And three, why? I didn't think the power pad could affect other people. I thought it could only affect Kevin.
Yeah, that was the big one that stuck out to me. I was like, okay, so how's he going to like grab their hands to do this in time? And then he just presses the button and they all go into the warp zone. I was like, wait.
That's not been documented before. Has this always been a power?
No, I mean, like he does it earlier in the episode where he presses the over on the D-pad and it zips him to that direction, but mm-hmm. not multiple characters. Other than pause is the only thing I've seen affect multiple characters, unless is it the first or second episode where they are chased by Donkey Kong and he uses up to jump and they all jump high? I don't remember that.
I don't think so. I don't remember. We'd have to. I'm not rewatching it. That's for sure. So the warp zone takes them to the front of the castle in Castlevania, and they go to break up the wedding that they know is happening. Very convenient. And then Kid Icarus and Mega Man come a little bit later, but the cuts to the scene of the wedding starting, and their Mother Brain's coming down the aisle. And I mean, there was a scene that we missed earlier of Mother Brain getting her dress tried on, but I didn't really find all that funny to me. I guess maybe you did though.
Other than the fact that they're using like a pulley system and like
to get this dress over top of this giant glass jar.
Yes. Yeah. And of course they're like three stooging it up, like you know, they drop it on King Hippo and Wily gets his foot tied up in the rope of the pulley system and like yeah, 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 you know, all that classic Three Stooges, you know, physical comedy. But other than that, like, there's no reason for it other than to kill time.
Yeah, no, I mean, once again, just, well, it's so weird then that they cut out the bit of that joke in the beginning of the scene when they added this completely unnecessary filler scene later on.
The weird part was when Dracula is getting Simon fitted in his tuxedo.
And he bites him.
And he's like, wants the sleeves adjusted. And so Dracula bites his forearm. Nothing, like, he doesn't actually puncture anything. And then he's like, there. Like nothing gets... He could have, like, bit it and ripped it off or something. You know, like...
It's no, just something, but there's just a random
kind of,
bite.
Like, he just kind of, like, bites his sleeve and then, like, there. Now it fits better. Like, it was very odd.
It is very, very, I'm sure very
there
odd.
Was something missed in translation from script to animation there.
Or just, like, once again, Jeffrey Scott probably not be given any context and given, like, 2 days worth of time to write 24 episodes or 13 episodes.
Oh God, I just paused it. I've got it on in the background. I just paused it on another possible thumbnail, even though we might go with the mullet bat Dracula. Is Simon having his Simon and Mother Brain kind of daydreaming about being married? And
oh yes, that's a Simon big scene.
Baby brains.
And he's rocking, and he wants them to all be brain surgeons.
Yeah. Oh, it's such a horrifying image of all the, like, all the baby brains with Simon's, like, weird hair coif.
I do find it funny that whenever they want to Simonize something in the show, it's the hair that sticks out more than anything else.
Yes. Yes.
Absolutely. I mean, it makes sense. It's his most distinguishing feature. But anyway, so they show up at the wedding, and you see all the guests at the wedding, and Mother Brain comes in, and I got so upset, not really, of course, but like so upset at the processional song. Did you hear the lyrics to the processional song?
You're going to have to remind me.
They sing, "Here comes the brain." Okay. Dumb joke. I'm fine with that.
Oh, that's right.
"Dressed in membrane." "Here comes the brain dressed in membrane."
It's so bad.
I couldn't believe it. This, what kind of a joke is that's not, I don't have words. I just don't have words. It doesn't make "Here comes I thank God I'm already married. Otherwise maybe I'd ask my wife to like let us use that as a processional.
Right. Yeah. Well, I was gonna say I'm gonna have to renew my vows and the processional will be the do. That they use in all the montages.
But you use that song for every single moment. First dance, do 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 do. It's the filler for everything. Mother and daughter dance or mother son dance, do 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 do.
Yes, exactly.
Oh my God, that'd be so funny. then oh my God, someone has to do that. Someone has to do that for their wedding. Just like use the Captain N filler music for every single filler thing. We don't feel like licensing this song here. So do 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 do.
Oh, that's great.
Just use it for everything in life. So it's like you're not going to hear my theme song anymore. You're not going to hear the still loading intro. You're just going to hear do 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 do.
I'm down for that.
Oh man, I need to find some background music for this new video I made. Do 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 do. Just over and over and over again. So when they're making the processional, there's a piano that's playing, and I was very confused by the piano. There's a face on it.
Yeah.
There's a face on top of the piano, and it looks like it's eating the sheet music.
Yeah, it's like a weird gargoyle that holds the sheet music, but it also looks like it was eating the sheet music.
Mm-hmm. I don't quite get it. I like the design. It's really weird, but it just something I felt like commenting on. I don't have much more to add to it, but yes, it just was.
That's the charm of this show, is all the weird background design elements.
The snake toilet is a perfect example. The snake toilet. Oh, my God.
And the dragon bed being a fireplace.
Yes, and the dragon being a fireplace. They after so you know this all starts happening. They start fighting each other. Kevin starts fighting King Hippo. Actually, Duke first starts biting King Hippo, and he rips his shirt. And King Hippo, all he can muster is "Hey, hey!" and Captain, then Mega Man, excuse me, and Kid Icarus show up. He tries to shoot it. We already mentioned before that he misses the first two. Well, he misses the first shot, hits Simon the second time, but Simon doesn't get angry at Mother Brain. He gets angry at Eggplant Wizard, hits him finally a third time, and then he falls out of love with her. And then, because the next note I have is sorry, what were you going to say?
Are you going to talk about the 5 seconds left countdown?
Oh, the unnecessary countdown?
Yeah, all of a sudden after that second arrow, if it wasn't enough suspense that they only had one arrow left, Mega Man's like, "We only have 5 seconds," looking on his wristwatch, like, "What?"
That's new information to us.
When was there a time limit on this wedding?
They made a comment early on that if they don't change it back soon, then Simon's going to be that way permanently. But they never offered a timetable for that.
Yeah, it was just like, you've got enough suspense that it's your last arrow. Did we really need to put a hat on a hat here?
I don't know. I like two hats. But it doesn't make any sense. You're right. Oh, it's so funny. So, but the thing I was going to comment on was, Mother Brain, you know, after Simon says, "Oh, I could never love you," then Mother Brain, I mean, this poor woman, and you know, she gets tricked, you know, she falls in love with Simon because someone finally loves her, and then he gets knocked out of it, and he's like, "Oh, I could never love you," and she tells Dracula to go attack Simon, and it cuts to Dracula, and it's the most anticlimactic thing I've ever seen. He just goes, "Bleh!" And then it cuts back to Simon, and it cuts, like, there's no tension. He just goes, "Bah," and that's it.
Yep. Yeah, Simon wraps his, has it like the little physical joke of wrapping his whip around Dracula's waist and then like spins him into a coffin.
And that's yeah.
It. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, I forgot about that too. Yeah. So he just falls and the coffin tips over and then they've disposed of him. And that's honestly pretty much the episode, because then Mother Brain escapes and the zapper, once again not having any level of like consistency in terms of its power, Kevin uses the zapper after Simon comes to his senses. Kevin uses a zapper and it creates like a fissure, this giant fissure in the floor of the church of Castlevania, and I'm thinking, why does this not, like, so does he change? Why is the power so different here than any other time?
No, it's so true. Like, what are the limits of it? Like, what? Like, it bounces off of Mother Brain's glass jar, but can create a giant, like, crater and break apart an entire building.
I know, right? It doesn't make...
These two episodes to me also, going back to the thing you said at the beginning about how these are kind of like Simon and Mother Brain episodes... These also have started to confuse me as to the motivation and characterization of Princess Lana, these two episodes.
Really? Okay.
Because because there are a couple of jokes about, you know, obviously she's like, "Oh, Simon, I don't like you," you know, all these things. But then there's a moment at the end where Simon's like, "I can't believe that I fell in love with Mother Brain. I need to go back to love, you know, go back to my first love." And Lana starts blushing, and then Simon has the joke of me, and he looks at his own reflection and is like, you know, fixing his hair in the mirror kind of thing.
Yep.
And then Lana gets all angry, like, "Oh, Simon, like, wait, no, you should be happy that he's not saying you."
Especially because he just tried to force you to love him.
Yeah, exactly. There have been a couple of moments like that in the show where I'm like, what? I don't understand. What? Like, why do we keep... That shouldn't be her reaction at all.
Well, as you know, women only like what they can't have. Am I right, fellas? No, I'm just kidding. That's this not a. True. I'm. Yes. That's. I'm not serious about that.
Oh no, of course. But in 1989 humor, you're right.
There is a joke in the next episode that feels like you could only get away with it in 1989. We'll talk about that. Just think of 1989 humor. My final note on the episode, you brought it up, was that Simon, you know, says that he loves himself. I thought that was a weird moral, because it's good to love yourself. You know, it's good to have confidence and to be comfortable in who you are. But there is a thing called arrogance as well. And that's all that it was with Simon.
Yeah.
It just, I don't know if that was the best way to end it. I thought that was a weird, because most of these shows at least have some level of a moral to it, but this one didn't.
No, this, that felt more like the classic end of a sitcom where everyone laughs, like, oh, we all share a laugh, and then freeze frame and cut to credits. Like that, that seemed to be how they wanted to end that.
It really was. But okay, so that is episode 8 of Captain N the Game Master. Dexter, do you have any final thoughts? Are there any final points that you want to bring up that I did not or we did not bring up throughout the course of this episode?
No, the only thing I would say, and this only is really like relevant to me, this is one of the first episodes that like tickled parts of my memory since the first episode. Like, I feel like I saw the first episode a lot on TV. This was one of the first episodes that I feel like I remember seeing broadcast. I was like, okay, because I remembered some of the wedding stuff and Simon loving, you know, falling in love with Mother Brain and being like, ha, 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 that's funny, you know, as a little kid thinking that was humorous. But, yeah. You know, on the whole, this felt like back return to form after the last couple of episodes as far as like, this is how I remember Captain N feeling, where there's like, little bit of video game humor, a little bit of classic, you know, late 80s, early 90s sitcom humor, you know, that kind of mixture of chemistry for the show.
Yeah. I could see that with this episode. I think this episode was interesting for me because it wasn't my favorite, but it was definitely, it was on the upper tier of like, out of all the episodes we've watched so far, and admittedly, this is only the 8th one in the series so far, I'd still put it in the top half, like not just slightly above the middle, like well into the top half.
Yeah.
We should maybe consider doing a ranking at the end of each season.
Ooh, that's a good
idea. Cause we're getting close to the end of it. You know, we're getting close to the end of season one. We have 4 more episodes left of season one. I mean, technically 5, sorry, 5 more episodes left of season one, but we're going to be recording one of those next. But yeah, so I this one was definitely entertaining enough for me, at least. I think the second one, the next one here, I think I liked a little bit more, but we'll get into that on the next episode, and you'll hear that all next month. So with that said, Dexter, thank you so much for joining me. Where can the good people find you online?
Oh, you can find me on Instagram. You can find me on Twitter. It's just my name, at Dexter Morrill, D-E-X-T-E-R. My name. D-E-X-T-E-R-M-O-R-R-I-L-L. If you're looking for me on Twitter, it's just that. And I think on Instagram, it's got an underscore between the two names. You'll find me. It's not a very common name, I feel like.
But, no, you'll find it. Yep.
Yeah.
I always feel weird putting people's like first and last names, but like since you're out there as yourself, I guess I could just say your name at the beginning of each episode.
Yeah, I mean, I'm an artist by trade. I teach art. I make art, so kind of my name is my brand, so I kind of have to do that a little bit. But yeah, so if you're into artwork, if you're into if you want to talk more about Captain N outside of the show, you can hit me up on either of those.
All right. As usual, you can follow me on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at StillLoadingPod on all of them. If you want to email me, you can email me stillloadingcontact@gmail.com. If you want to support the show, please give it a 5-star rating and review on Apple Podcasts or whichever podcasting app you use. That helps more people find the show. If you want to support the show monetarily, patreon.com/stillloadingpod. For $1 a month, you'll get each episode a little bit early and also access to a patron exclusive Discord. There's also a $5 tier where for $5 a month, you'll get everything I mentioned in the $1 one, as well as 2 bonus episodes a month. At the time of this recording, I just did my first ever retro magazine review and I was really happy with how it turned out. So please go check that out. patreon.com/stillloadingpod. And the most important shout out is the Bit by Bit Foundation. The Bit by Bit Foundation is a nonprofit organization whose mission is to put video games and video game consoles in the hands of children receiving inpatient care at hospitals. So if you want to go support them, go to bitbybitfoundation.org and consider donating. And that will do it for episode 8 of Captain N the Game Master. Dexter, thank you once again for joining me.
Thank you. Always a pleasure.
And I will see you all next time. We'll be right back.